You know, gals, we don't attract into our lives the things we want. We attract into our lives the things that match who we are. Oh my goodness. Let's talk this over. Hello, gals, and welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women 40 Plus. I'm Becca Jacobson, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to help you drop the wine and pick up happy, conscious living. And not only that, but we're in the middle of, or near the beginning, I should say, one of my legendary book studies. If you're new and you're like, what the hell is a legendary book study? I mean, come on. Seriously, Becca. Well, I think they're legendary. Anybody else? Hands? Show of hands, please. Yeah, I see a few in the back there going, yes, Becca, my hand is up. Your book studies are legendary. See? I told you. But seriously, we look at some of the best personal development books ever written, and then we talk about how they apply to living an alcohol-free life. And the reason we do that instead of reading Quit Lit is because it's not about the alcohol. So what we want to find out is how to live, not how to quit drinking. Right? Get that? Hope you got that. I'm not here to show you how to quit drinking. You'll get some tips and how to get through triggers and all that. That's all early days. That's not rocket science. You don't need me for that. What I want to help you do is learn how to live without alcohol in a way that creates a life that you're like, booze, who cares, man? I love this. I love getting up every morning. Because I got stuff going on and I feel good and I'm just, yeah, I want my life. That's what happened to me and that's what I want for you. So let's get to it. Why are we looking at So let's get to the point, Becca. We are on session number 2 of James Allen's 100 plus year old little book called As a Man Thinketh. And this book, I've discovered some things about it in the last week, doing a little more research. It has been very influential in terms of the great writers of the 20th century, personal development writers who've written on the topic of thoughts, how thoughts affect our lives, how thoughts affect our everything, our attitude, our circumstances, our character, all of it. It was very influential. All of the authors of the great books on these subjects were influenced in one way or another by James Allen. This little tiny skinny little book he put out in 1903, they've all read it. And so if we look at how, because it's very dense, right? He puts a lot of information in there. He's writing in English that's 100 plus years old. I could take a one or two paragraphs, or okay, let's say one or two pages from this book and write an entire book just on those two pages because it's so dense. And that's what's happened. In the 20th century, in the 100 years since the writing of this book, people have done exactly that. And they've looked back to this and they've referenced it and it's been very influential. So I figure, hey, let's go to the source, right? So last week we talked about the little section. Now, if you've got the book and you're following along, you'll see he's got it broken up into sections. I don't even think they can be called chapters. I mean, this can't even really be called a book. It's just a thin volume or maybe a fat essay, whatever. Who cares, right? Last week, we looked at the section on thought and character, how our thoughts create who we are, our character. The person that shows up in the room is the person is created by the thoughts we think day in and day out. And you know, sometimes you'll meet a person and they're just sour. They're like a sour person or a person who doesn't trust others. That's the word I'm looking for, suspicious. Right? A suspicious person. Well, people get this way by thinking thoughts that match. So somebody who's suspicious is thinking thoughts like, I wonder what they want from me. Oh, they probably expect something. Oh, I wonder how I can get something out of this situation. What's in it for me? These types of thoughts create a suspicious, pinched, tight character. And we could go on and look at this. You can tell when you meet someone if they're thinking loving, open thoughts, if they're kind and open, you know they're thinking open, kind thoughts. You just know they are. You know, the thing that I didn't know all these years was that my thoughts aren't private. my thoughts aren't just these things that I think that nobody else ever thought or ever knew about, and they make no difference. It's just, hey, it's my private space. Leave me alone. It's my head. I get to think whatever I want. And it's what happens between my ears stays between my ears. It's none of your business. And it really has no influence on anything out there. And so you just back off, right? No, that's not the way this works, it turns out. Your thoughts are not only not private, but they're not original. I hate to say it, but we haven't had an original thought since the day we were born. It might be new to us, but somebody else thought that thought first. Trust me, right? And that includes all of us. And so our thoughts are not only not private, but they ooze out into our character, into our circumstances. This is powerful shit. So let's get with it here. Today, we're going to look at the section on thoughts and circumstances, okay? There's so much here, but basically what Alan is saying is that the thoughts you think create your life in a very literal sense. And there, as I say, there are a lot of writers that came after him. Neville Goddard comes to mind, who literally made an entire career out of going around in New York and then later in on the West Coast, lecturing for free, by the way, just lecturing week after week after week, trying to tell as many people as would listen to him that your thoughts create your life. Your thoughts create your reality. And he said that over and over and over. He did it for free. He never charged a dime. He wrote books on the subject, which you can pay for, but a lot of them are free as well. So this is a guy heavily influenced by James Allen, right? And this is a very intense idea. My thoughts create my reality. Well, in this section of James Allen's book, he's talking about circumstances. So Neville Goddard took it way farther. This is an example of taking a seed of an idea and taking it farther. Well, what circumstances are affected by our thoughts and how? Let's have a look at what James Allen says. He says that a man's mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. It must and will. Gals, this isn't a maybe, it will. So if we're allowing thoughts of, oh my God, I can't stop drinking. Oh my God, I'm so useless at this. Oh my God, that was stupid. Why did I do that? And oh my God, here we are again, another group of people who, you know, or this person wants that, or whatever negative, suspicious, worrisome self-condemnation thoughts are going through our minds are literally creating our lives. And if we're thinking that we can't stop drinking, we're not worthy of true happiness, that's exactly what we're going to see in our lives. And that was me. There is no surprise left in me why I couldn't stop drinking for over 30 years. That was my thought. I'd wake up in the morning and think, oh my God, I'd really wish I could not drink today, but sure as shit, come 4 o'clock, I'm going to be drinking again. Well, how the hell do you have a life of sober, happy life when that's the first thought you think in the morning and then you think it over and over and over and over? And it was impossible. No wonder I couldn't stop drinking. I didn't believe I could. I didn't think I could. But I didn't think that mattered. I mean, that's the thing, right? I would think, oh, here we go again. Oh, my God. But there was another thought behind it, but I'll do my best. On today, boy, I'm not drinking. Yeah, right, Becca, you're drinking. Good luck, right? So there's this two voices in the head, the argument in the head. It's this mess. And if someone would ask me, which almost no one did, in fact, I don't think anyone ever did, my husband maybe, you know, can you stop drinking? My answer would be, no, I can't stop drinking. I've tried a million times and I can't do it. And that thought alone, let alone verbalized, will just keep you right where you are. But the question becomes, how do we change the thought without just lying to ourselves? I mean, if I say to you, okay, gals, for the next 7 days, I want you to just think, I am amazing and I never drink. How would that feel? Like a bunch of BS, right? Well, that would feel weird because I don't think like that. That's not my thought and I don't believe that thought. So don't ask me to think it all day long, Becca. This is sort of the traditional positive thinking. You can see where the whole positive thinking movement came from in the later 20th century. It's this idea that our thoughts create reality. But we can't just adopt some Pollyanna-ish thought that is, you know, I never drink and I'm amazing. Well, that thought doesn't resonate. It doesn't go deep into your subconscious. It doesn't hit your heart. It doesn't hit your soul. It ain't going to create new circumstances. It's just not. It's just going to float on the top and fly away. And besides, you won't be able to keep it up for very long anyway. So what do we do? What do we do so we're not just lying to ourselves? Well, let's have a look at what James Allen says. Here's a quote. That circumstances grow out of thought, every man knows who has for any length of time practiced self-control and self-purification. For he will have noticed that the alteration in his circumstances has been in exact ratio with his altered mental condition. I can speak to this, gals. This is exactly what's happened to me in recent years, and I'll tell you more in a second. Let's finish this quote. He continues, so true is this that when a man earnestly applies himself to remedy the defects in his character and makes swift and marked progress, he passes rapidly through a succession of vicissitudes. Oh my God, what does he mean? What's a vicissitude? Oh my God, we're in scary territory. He used a big word. Should we go look it up? What is vicissitude? Well, look, we're going to look it up. We're going to talk about it. But let's just go back to the beginning of this quote. What he's saying is if you actually sit down and practice this and use some self-control and self-purification, he uses, what you're going to find is your circumstances changing. You'll be surprised. You'll go, wow, that's interesting. Not only that, but they're going to change in exact ratio to your altered mental condition. So in other words, depending on how successful that you are at changing your thoughts and feeling that it's true and real and valid and not a lie, to that extent, your circumstances will change. In other words, it's going to be a slow go because it's going to take us a while to change our thoughts and believe the changes that we're thinking and feel those changes and become those changed thoughts. And then our circumstances start catching up to us. We can change a thought in a heartbeat, but circumstances take longer. But we must have faith and know that's okay. My circumstances will catch up. If I just keep believing and growing this belief in myself and love for myself and others, the circumstances will catch up. But it doesn't take that long. And that's what James Allen means when he mentions a succession of vicissitudes. Let's look at what he means. We'll read this sentence again. He says, this is so true that when you earnestly apply yourself to remedy your character, you'll make swift and marked progress and pass rapidly through a succession of vicissitudes. What this means is that you'll find your circumstances changing quite quickly and you'll notice, wow, this is new. And then another new thing comes and another, and you're quite surprised to find, wow, my life is really shaping up here. Ever since I started working on my thoughts, I'm passing through different circumstances daily, weekly at least, and you can see them and you expect them and you understand where they're coming from because you're feeling new thoughts. I want us to use this expression. It comes from me. I didn't read it anywhere as far as I can remember, and it's the expression of feel your thought instead of thinking your thought. We want to feel new thoughts. That's why positive thoughts that we don't believe won't work. We don't feel them. So we want to feel our thoughts. And when we can do that, we can pass rapidly from one circumstance to another. We can improve our circumstances. Here's more from James Allen. He says this, the outer world of circumstances shapes itself to the inner world of thought. And both pleasant and unpleasant external conditions are factors which make for the ultimate good of the individual. As the reaper of his own harvest, man learns both of suffering and bliss. Over and over in this section, he's just saying the same thing. You will improve your circumstances when you improve your thoughts, your thought patterns. And if you're thinking pleasant thoughts, you will have a pleasant circumstances. Here's another one that's really touching. He says this, men do not attract that which they want, but that which they are. Now, this is a very powerful statement, and you'll find it in a lot of books, a lot of recent books about, not necessarily recent, the last 20, 30, 40 years, but came since James Allen, is the idea that you don't get what you want. You get what you are. We get what we are. So if I believe myself to be worthy, sober, happy, capable of changing my life will begin to change. I cannot just sit and wish, oh, I wish my life was better. I wish my life was better. I wish my life was better, but change nothing on the inside. We have to become what we want to experience. So it's more than thoughts. We have to feel the thoughts, not just think the thoughts. How do we do this? Let's keep looking here. Here's the answer, gals. James Allen says this: men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. So let's look at this. We want different circumstances, but we're not willing to improve ourselves. This is so relevant to drinking. I want my life to be different. How? I want alcohol out of it. I ask women, what do they want? And one of the biggest things that they want is not just to quit drinking, but they want to quit wanting to drink. They say, Becca, I just really look forward to the day that I don't obsess about alcohol. I don't think about it at 5 o'clock. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to struggle, Becca. I just want to not, they rarely just say, I want to just not drink. They really want to not want to drink. And that's true freedom. But if you're unwilling to improve yourself, you'll never get it. Let me read this quote again. We are anxious to improve our circumstances, but are unwilling to improve ourselves. And in that case, we remain bound. Gals, this is why you will hear me and all the Quitlet, all the other, all everywhere you look for sobriety advice, you will hear us saying what? It's not about not drinking. It's an undertaking, or anybody, I hope they're saying this, I'm saying this. It's about personal development, self learning how to grow as a human, how to understand our negative emotions, release the ones that we can release, reframe the past, heal, change ourselves, and as James Allen calls it, improve ourselves. If you want to change your circumstances, we've got to be willing to improve ourselves. And how do we do that? By feeling different thoughts. Remember, we've agreed we're not thinking thoughts anymore, we're feeling them. By the end of this episode, in a minute here, we're going to talk about your homework, and your homework today is going to be helping you learn how to feel your thoughts. You already know how to think them. We need to feel them. But first, a couple more words from James Allen on the subject of thoughts and circumstances. Near the end of this section, he says this, and it's so beautiful. Let a man cease from his sinful thoughts, and all the world will soften towards him and be ready to help him. Let him put away his weakly and sickly thoughts, and the opportunities will spring up on every hand to aid his strong resolve. Let him encourage good thoughts, and no hard fate shall bind him down to wretchedness and shame. The world is your kaleidoscope, and the varying combinations of colors which at every succeeding moment it presents to you are the exquisitely adjusted pictures of your ever-moving thoughts. Isn't that beautiful? The world is your kaleidoscope, and the various combinations of colors that you see, colors meaning circumstances that you see at every succeeding moment of your life, are being presented to you because of your ever-moving thoughts. So let's talk about how we can practice what we've learned today over the next week. First of all, let's revisit what we did last week. I asked you in the last week, in your journal, in your As I Thinketh journal, I wanted you to find some of the thoughts that have created the character you are today. And hopefully that made you think, maybe I don't want to think this thought anymore. It's creating in me fear. I'm an anxious person. You know, like, what kind of person, what kind of character do you have? I meet women all the time that will say, I'm anxious. I struggle with depression. I struggle with anxiety. What kind of thoughts are you thinking? Even those labels make me cringe. But let's not, that'll take me off on a tangent, gals, and we'll end up in a triple header of a snippet here. So let's end that there. But let me tell you, that's not, I don't like that. But anyways, staying on point here, I hope you found some of the thoughts that are creating the character that you're seeing, that you're presenting to the world, the you, your personality. And when you found them, wrote them in your journal, and then you spent the week noticing them and considering, how can I think different thoughts about myself so I'm not creating this anxious character, this frightened character, this worried character? Because that character is your personality, and it's coming from thoughts you think about yourself, including labels. Okay? That was last week. So this week, we're talking about thoughts and circumstances. And so what I want you to do is begin practicing feeling your thoughts. So that means if I'm going to ask you to upgrade your thoughts, you need to choose a thought that you can feel without lying to yourself, that you can open your heart to without feeling like it's just a big lie, because a lie is never going to be accepted and it's not going to make any difference in your life. So what thoughts can you think that feel like they could be real? Yeah, I can go with that. Here's an example. I'm worthy of happiness. If that's too much of a stretch for you, and it is for some women, I hope it's not, for crying out loud, but okay. How about happiness is possible for me, or freedom is possible, or I'm worthy of freedom? Find a thought that you can believe and then repeat it to yourself enough times throughout the week. Keep bringing yourself back to it and try to feel the emotion behind that thought. When I say to you this thought, I am worthy of happiness, I think this is a really good one. And if you can take that thought and it's not being completely rejected by your psyche, if it's not going, no, I'm not, forget it, Becca, not worthy, forget it, not going to happen, okay, don't use that one. But if you can hear me say that and apply it to yourself without deep, deep resistance, I encourage you to use that one this week. And try to feel the emotion you feel behind that thought. I'm worthy of happiness. Or I'm worthy of freedom. Or freedom is possible for me. If you want to be specific about alcohol, you absolutely can. I can live alcohol free. Or if that's too much, I will. Or if that's too much, living alcohol free is a possibility for me. It's better if you can do it in the present tense, but it also can feel very much like a lie. So I don't want us to push this to the point where we're just walking around all week parroting positive thinking thoughts that we don't believe for a split second. I need you to practice feeling your thought. That's why we're going slow. So this week, I give you this thought: I am worthy of happiness, or I am worthy of freedom. If you can't use either of those, then please come up with your own. Choose a thought that you can feel without resistance, and then spend this week feeling that thought. When you say that thought in your mind, what does it bring to your heart? Feel the thought as much as you can and grow the feeling behind that thought. That's what I want you to do this week. Grow the feeling behind the thought. Because, you know, you can stick a sticky note on your forehead and write it on your mirror. This thought will be everywhere, but it doesn't mean anything. You're just seeing it all over the place. And maybe you're even saying it, I'm worthy, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. No, I want you to feel the thought. This is so important. That's the homework this week. Choose a thought that you can believe or learn to believe, or you're not resisting outright, and learn how to feel that thought. Because, my dears, here's the truth. If you can feel a thought, it will change your circumstances, because it means that you can believe it. And if you can feel it, your subconscious will accept it. The only thing your subconscious will accept are your feelings. That's why saying a positive thought but not believing it never works. We have to feel the thought for the subconscious to get on board and help us out. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get the subconscious on our side and helping us. Well, gals, this might be one of the longest snippets ever, but if you're still not sick to death of me, why not check out my YouTube channel? Did you know I had a YouTube channel? Well, I do, and lately I've been putting more and more stuff on there. In fact, what you'll find over there is a lovely little series called Sober Living Strolls with Becca and Winnie, and these are videos that I shoot while walking with my dog. So come on over. The link is in the show notes, and I'll see you there. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.